Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Welcome if you're watching online. We are going to get right at it today. We're going to get right at it today. So quick little catch up. We are in a series called Forge, just transitioning into it right now. We've come off of the heels about talking at end times. What that means for us thematically, one of the major takeaways was what it means for us to be ready. Be ready as believers, be ready as people, as God's people for whatever may come. And so off of the heels of that, we're like, hey, here's a great text to talk about. We're going to jump right into 1 Peter. 1 Peter. We're calling the series Forged because that's a theme that we're going to see throughout the text. So we're going to carry on with that. This is week two. And part of the way that we're going to go through this text in this series is we're going to go right through the text. Verse by verse, we're going to get right at it. There's more than enough for what God needs to say to you and me in it. So we're going to cruise and we're going to go for it. Are you ready? Okay. So quick recap. Here we go. Last week, first week, we went through the first kind of half of the first book, first 13 verses. And Craig Miles was the one that was giving us the message. If you missed it, check it out. Or you can catch it online. It's on the app. Or you can just read it yourself, too. You should do both, because both is good. What he reminded us is that believers are first and foremost citizens of the kingdom of heaven, not of this world and of this place. Right? We're from a different place. Our kingdom is the Lord's, and our citizenship is in heaven, not naturally in this place. He went on to tell us that our salvation, which comes through the resurrected Jesus Christ, is secure in heaven for those that believe. It's secure based on what Jesus has done. We can have hope, we can have assurance, we can have confidence in that salvation because of what Jesus has done. And additionally, he wrapped it up by saying that because we are not, right, citizens of this world, we choose to associate ourselves with Jesus, that there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trial. There's going to be difficulty, struggle, and grief. It's going to happen. But what he tells us is that it's an opportunity for us to prove that we have a faith that is genuine, that it's real, significant, that it matters, that we can have joy in it, not happiness, not the same, but that we can have joy in those trials, even though we may have grief, and that it's a chance for us to show that we have a genuine faith that means something, that's going to set us apart. So we're going to continue on that conversation tonight. I want to do a quick little recap, and then we're going to go right into it. Everything you need, the scriptures in your notes, if you want to follow along with your Bible, if you have a paper Bible in front of you, an app, the scripture online as well, you can check that out. But I want to set the preface here as we jump into the second half of 1 Peter chapter 1 into the second half of 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter is an apostle, and he's writing this in Rome and in Turkey for the majority of his ministry. He's talking to Gentile Christians, meaning non-Jewish Christians, people that did not grow up in the lineage of the Lord. And so for us, there's a similarity to where we are not necessarily Jewish, but we're grafted in because of what Jesus did. So part of the message tonight may hit you in a spot if you're not a believer, if you're a newer believer, that Peter is speaking to what we are to be. What believers are supposed to be like, what they are supposed to live like, why they're supposed to live that way. And so if you're wondering, or you're like, hey, I haven't necessarily seen examples of what Christians are supposed to be. I've seen examples, but they're maybe bad ones. Peter's going to tell us tonight what it should look like and why it should look that way. If you are a believer tonight, you're part of the family here, this is an encouragement, reminder, right, for all of us, myself included, that this is what we are to strive to aspire to be. And what the motivating factor is, why we are to be this way, where our source of power comes so that we can be this way, is what Peter is addressing. So let's get right at it. Chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 13. And here's kind of the theme, the idea, the anchor idea for these texts. It's therefore. Therefore is our key word as we're going through this. Therefore means because of, with something in mind. It's a key word that's going to be part of this message, come up over and over and over again. The idea is therefore, because of something, the why behind the what. So keep that in mind as we dive through this tonight. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore,
With minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed that is coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who is holy called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So you see right out of the gate there, it's a therefore statement, right? Because of something, the why, we are to do something. So right here, it says, because, remember the verses before it, because our salvation is secure because of what Christ did. Because our trial and grief that we're going to go through gives us the opportunity to have a genuine faith. Because those things are true, we are to have a sober and an alert mind. Because we have received salvation, we're to have a sober and alert mind. We are to set our hope on the grace to be received when Jesus reveals. Because of what he's done, we set our hope in what he has done. Because of those things, we are to be obedient. I don't like that word. I don't know if you like that word. I don't like that word. But just because I don't like it doesn't mean that it's not true, it's not good, it's not right. Because of what Jesus has done, we're to be obedient to what he says. Be obedient to what? Looking right at the text. He says that we are to not conform to the evil desires of the world that we come from. The temptation of the world, the desires that we have in the flesh, he says being obedient is to not conform and give in to them. He also says that we are to be holy. Ooh, holy is a big word. I remember hearing holy. The first thing that comes to mind when I hear holy, right, I think of holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy is God, his reverence, like these giant concepts, like God himself, holy. And then Peter says that God says that we're supposed to be holy. That's a big task. What does he mean by holy? Holy means to be set apart, different. Being set apart means that you are to be something for something. Setting apart is being something for something, for a purpose. Different, recognizably different is what being set apart is. Holiness is being recognizably set apart for the purpose of God in the way that God would have us be. So we are to be something. Peter's going to tell us what that is, for something, which is God. So God says, be holy as I am holy. Be for my purposes as I am for my purposes. Here's what holiness isn't. Holiness is not perfection. If holiness is perfection, I'm not getting there. I would never be able to get there. Holiness is not being perfect. It's just being with the one who is perfect. Holiness doesn't mean that we have to have it all together, that we never fail, that we never mess up, that we do not have temptations of the world, but being set apart means that we choose to follow the one who has overcome the world, that we choose to rely on him when we have those trials and those temptations. And he says, be holy as I am holy, because God is holy, amen? And he desires for us to be that way. In creation, that's God's intent for us. In reality, we fall short. But nonetheless, God's desire for every single one of us in creation is to be as he is. Eternally, we get to be with him as he is. But until then, we're here now. We're in the battle, we're in the fight, we're in the struggle, but Jesus promises to be with us through it all. Being set apart means that we choose to be with God when he's with us, and we strive to be as he is, Christ-like. So holiness is not perfection. Holiness is being for the purpose of God in the way that God calls us to be. This is what Peter's trying to tell them, right? The new Christians, the believing Christians that didn't grow up with the heritage, that haven't heard this and heard this and heard this. Peter's telling them what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus, and he's telling us the same message. And we're just three verses into it. It's going to keep getting better. So he calls us to be holy. Continue on verse 17. Since you call on a father, again, that since word right there, because of, you could insert therefore, because we call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, you are to live out your time here as foreigners in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life that was handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. So this next little chunk here, he starts off again with a therefore, a because, and then tells us what his heart's desire is. So right out of the gate, he says, because God is one who what? Judges justly, fairly. God is a good judge. He has the authority to judge. He has the love to judge. He judges correctly, justly, fairly. Because that's true, and because you know that that's true, there's the therefore, you should live as a foreigner and with reverent fear. Now, foreigner, he starts off at the beginning of the book. He says you're like exiles, right? Aliens in a place. He's not saying you should not know anything and not know what you're supposed to do or how you're supposed to live or how to function in this world. That's not what he's talking about at all. What he's saying is, as you choose to follow Jesus, because of what he's done, salvation, sacrifice, when you live that way, it's going to be like you're a foreigner in a different land. You're going to look different. You're going to act different. You're going to be perceived as what? Set apart and different. Because in this verse right here, you know that God is just and you know that he's good, but he's also judge. So he says with a reverent fear. And there's fear, right? The beginning of wisdom is understanding, a fear of the Lord. And so should we be scared of God? Maybe, but that's not what he's saying. We don't need to be scared of God. We need to soberly, reverently understand who he is, which should do what? Dictate how I live. Keep that in mind. Because you know who God is, therefore, live this way. That's what he says in this passage. He goes on and he says, remember that God redeemed you, right? We just sang that song. Man, it's so good. You've been redeemed not by imperishable items. Gold and silver. It's like, dang, gold and silver. It's kind of spendy. I'll take some gold and silver right now. Maybe Bitcoin. No. Imperishable things is not what you were redeemed with. But what were we redeemed with? The blood of the Christ that's eternal, that never perishes, that never quits, that never falls short. He says, you were bought back, you were redeemed, not by all the gold and silver that there is, that are temporal, that have some value that won't last. He says, you who believe have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, perfect, never ending, eternal. That is what bought you. Because that's true, therefore, be different, be set apart. Live holy as I call you to for the purposes that I invite you into. Don't choose temporal. Don't choose the things of this world. Don't be persuaded by the things that may look good now, feel good now. Be in line, be set apart for the eternal. It's by Christ's perfect blood that we were redeemed. He says, you're redeemed from what? This is an empty life that was handed down to you. Again, he's speaking to the Gentiles. And so the life that was handed down to them through our ancestors was not one knowing Yahweh God. It was not one that knew the truth, that knew the law. It was just customary, right? It's from their parents and their parents and their grandparents. It's what was just given to them. And so did they start out with it, or did they have to change and learn something new? They had to change and learn something new. You can't take with what you have. He says, empty, it's not going to fulfill. You're going to be redeemed from that to be something different by the blood of the Lamb. Remember, therefore, because of that, be different, be holy. Verse 22, now that you have, there it is again, now that you have, because of this, because you have done something, we're going to choose to do something else. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply and from the heart. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. So he kind of goes on, right? Peter's describing, he's like painting a picture. He's hitting different pieces right here. So he starts off by saying, since you have done something, there's the therefore. He says, you have purified yourselves. Purified meaning holy. Holy meaning set apart. Because you've chosen to be holy by doing what? Obeying the truth. There's that obey word again. Holiness, being set apart, being a person for God's purposes in the way that God calls us to live, holiness is a result of obedience. Doing what God calls us to do, not necessarily what I want to do, what I like to do, what feels good for me. Obedience, because of what God has done to what he says we are to do, leads us to being set apart, living holy. Here's what he says. He says, because you've done that, you've chosen to, right? I'm going to say work on being set apart. Because you've chosen to do that by being obedient, he says, so that you have sincere love. Why are we choosing to be obedient and be set apart? So that what? So that you have sincere love for each other. So if I'm reading that correctly, he says, you choose to purify yourselves and set yourself apart by being obedient to Jesus so that you have sincere love. What's the goal? Love. What's the result? Love. The reason why we're choosing to be set apart is so that you can love. And here's what I love about the love part, right? He says, you choose to be obedient, you become holy and set apart, you have a sincere love, so do it. He follows it up. He says, so that you have a sincere love for each other, love one another deeply and from the heart. It's one thing to know it. It's one thing to have the ability to love. He doubles down and says, so actually do it then. Actually love one another deeply from the heart. You choose to be obedient. God changes you. You're on the path. But the changing and obedient part is not easy, by the way. It's challenging. It takes effort. There's that trial. There's that difficulty. There's that struggle. There's that want to quit. But through the process, the goal is so that you can love others. So do it. That's what he says. Like, you do all the hard work, you do the change, and you get there, you can love one another deeply. So actually do it, and do it from the heart. Not just the mouth, not just thinking it, not just wanting to do it. Actually love one another. So you can see, therefore, Peter is therefore-ing on purpose, right? Be holy, be set apart because of what Jesus did, because he's redeemed you, because he's bought you back, because of what he did, be different. And here's what different looks like. Love other people. That's what Jesus himself says, right? A new command I give you, love one another. The law and the prophets, everything hangs on these two commands. Love God, love others. What does it mean to be set apart and be holy? Summarized in love people well, from the heart, because of what Jesus did. That's what Peter's telling them. This is what it means to be God's people because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Chapter 2. We good? All right, it's good. I know it's good. Let's read it. Chapter 2, verse 1. Nope, I'm going back. I lied. Before we get there, the end of that, he says, for all people are like what? Grass and like flowers. Right now, you go outside, the grass is beautiful right now. Aren't the flowers like fantastic? It's like middle, late spring. We get a little bit of rain. They're gorgeous. Like, it's something to look at. But like 2 months ago, it was dead. right? It's temporal. Your life, my life, in all of its glory and beauty is but a moment. It's beautiful in its time, but it too will come to an end. And Peter reminds us that all the glory, all the gain, all the accolades, all the success, all the stuff is gone. And it will be. 100% minus my Jesus will die. Fact. Don't choose the temporal. Don't fight for what you can get now. Fight to be like the one who is always. Peter says that. Can't miss that part. Man, I get caught up in that. If I just get one more of these, just a little bit more of that, then I'll be happy. It's not true. It's not true. Now we can go to chapter 2, verse 1. Guess how it starts? Therefore, because, again and again and again, therefore, because your life is but a blink of an eye, because of what Jesus has done and all the previous statements, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, of hypocrisy, of envy and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Short couple verses, super powerful. Again, Peter's painting a picture. He doesn't necessarily go linear. He kind of does this and then comes back, and then does this and then comes back. So this part of the therefore is, hey, remember what Jesus has done. Remember that our time is finite. Remember that you've been bought by the eternal blood of the Lamb. Because of what Jesus has done, rid yourself of sin. Rid yourself of the things that entangle, that ensnare, that trap, that cause deceit, that tell you that just put a little more fertilizer on your life and it's going to grow beautiful. It'll never die. It'll never quit. Keep fighting. Get yours. That lying, that deceit, that sin that comes from our flesh. Peter says, rid yourselves of it. That word rid means make effort. Fight against it. Do what you can. Strive to get rid of that. Takes effort. Why? Because you have to earn your salvation. Is that what he says? Hopefully those are nervous laughs, because there's been a time where I feel like I believe that. I feel like I'm not good enough. I'm not holy enough like Jesus says I have to be holy. So I better do these things. I better try real hard. I better get better, because I have to earn it, because Jesus, he meant it that one time, but he didn't know what I've done. He doesn't know how bad my attitude is. He doesn't know how short I am in my relationships and at home. He doesn't know the word that I said driving down the road the other day. The person who was driving next to me did, though. Right? I better get rid of all this stuff so that Jesus will take me back again. That's not the therefore. That's not what Peter says. That's not what's true. He says, because of who Christ is and all the things he's done, eternally finished, because of that, fight to be like him. Fight to be different. Fight to be set apart. Fight against the things that entangle. Because Jesus has victory over that. He's overcome the world. He's in your corner. And at the end of this verse right here, he says, because you have what? You have seen that he's good. You've already seen that he's good. Why? Because of what he's done. You've already seen his goodness by the sacrifice on the cross, by his mercy, by his grace, by what God has done in your life. You've seen it. You already have it. You don't need to earn it. Because in freedom, like Christian Putman says, you get to be free. In our freedom, we get to fight against sin, fight to get rid of those things. Because Jesus has victory over it, we just choose to have victory over it ourselves. Be holy as I am holy. Fight to be set apart and be different for my name's sake. Not because you have to earn it, but because I have allowed you to obtain it. It takes humility to admit that you need to change. You need to grow. It's hard for me to admit when I fall short. Anybody else? Yeah, come on. The rest of y'all are liars. It's hard for me to admit, right? So I read the middle of these verses right here. I'm like, I don't like that part. That's the second time I've said that today. I don't like this word. I don't like that word. I got work to do, right? Like newborn babies, talking about me, crave what? Pure spiritual milk. Why? So that you can grow up in your salvation. You already have it. You just grow in it. Somebody that is set apart, that is holy, that's learning, right? Remember, Peter's talking to the Gentiles. They're learning the new way to live. Jesus is talking to me. I'm learning a new way to live because what Christ has done. That means you're brand new, new creation, right? That's what Paul says. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are what? Born again, which means when you're born again, you don't start as an adult. You start as a child. Peter says you're like a child. You have to learn. You have to learn to grow. You have to learn to grow into Christ. And the way that you do that is by craving truth. New, so that you can grow. Don't crave the world. Don't crave the accolades of what it says. Don't fight to try to have what this world offers, but instead fight against sin and crave the truth. It takes humility to be able to say, I need to learn how to be Christ-like. I don't have the answer. Gentlemen, I don't have the answer. Try it to me. Try it with me. Yeah, I don't have the answer, honey. I don't actually know. That takes humility to be able to say, man, I got to fight and crave for truth. Guys, this is why we need each other. This is why relationship matters. This is why we harp on this constantly, is because the only way that we're going to learn well is when we do it together. Is we can say, how's it going for you? Here's how it's going for me. I don't know if I got it. Do you got it? Hey, I got it last time, but I missed it the last two times. Can you help me? Can you tell me, am I off? Am I right? Can I share with you how I did this? That's why we're in relationship. That's why we're in groups together. That's why iron sharpens iron. Love one another. That is a relational action that we do together. How do we learn? We learn best when we do it together. But part of being set apart is by being willing to say, I don't have all the answers. I don't know what to do. I need to learn to follow Jesus so that I can be like Jesus. One step is admitting it. Another step is actually doing it, which goes back to what he said before. The goal is love. You have the ability, but will you actually do it? That's what it means to be set apart. Not because we have to, but because we get to, because of what Jesus has done. He goes in here, the second chapter, 4 through about 10, and now he's starting to speak to us individually, but what it means for us collectively. So where he goes, hey, crave some truth, and then he drops it on us. Boom, here it is. So remember, he's talking to Gentiles that have had a history that is not in the lineage of God, but they have been grafted in to the team. And so he's telling them, this is what it's supposed to look like. Church, this is what we're supposed to look like. This is what God says is true about us, about you as an individual, and what we are to be should we choose to walk it out as we are set apart. Here's what he says, verse 4. He says, as you come to him, the living stone, talking about Jesus, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into the wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Man, it's strong. And he's tying a whole bunch into here. I want to touch on something for just a minute, and then we're going to come right back. After this series, this Forged series, as a church, as a team, we're going to go into Exodus. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to take that journey together this summer. Part of the Exodus story is about God revealing who he is to his people, taking his people from slavery and captivity into freedom, and then showing them who he is and who they are. Part of that process is when God starts to institute and share with people what it means for him to be holy. That's where we learn what that means. God shows us what different and being set apart means. And that's in the part where he starts to institute what's called the tabernacle, in the priestly system, to where God says, this is what it has to look like for you to enter into my presence. And guess what's involved in that? Sacrifice, holiness, perfection, all the things that our Jesus is. So he's tying all these things together, and he's telling them, the living stone, the one that was rejected, you too are to be like him. So through this whole chunk here, he says, because of the physical sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, right? Therefore, because Jesus physically died on the cross, that sacrifice, that death, that perfect, blameless sacrifice, because of that, here's what this means for you. Here's what this means for us. We are a holy and royal priesthood, because a holy and royal priest is what is required to have relationship with God. That's what God institutes. Jesus himself was the great high priest. Jesus himself went to make that sacrifice. Jesus himself said, once and for all, it's finished. And Peter right here says, now guess what? Because of that, you are now a royal priesthood, holy and set apart, which means that you, on your own, can enter into the throne room in the presence of God. You yourself, because of what Jesus has done. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're being built together to be something that's set apart for God's purposes. It's powerful what Peter is saying here. This sure sounds a whole lot different than, well, being a Christian means you don't get to do anything fun and all they want is your money. Sounds a little different to me. This is what Peter says. This is who you are. This is what you get to be. This is what God says you are. He says you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Our lives, Paul says, a living sacrifice we are to be. Our lives are a spiritual sacrifice, not a physical one. It's a spiritual sacrifice. And guess what it is? It's accepted by God. God in the Old Testament required a physical sacrifice. Right now, Peter says, your life, when you choose to be set apart, when you choose to be different, when you choose to fight through the battle, when you choose to grind, when you choose to say, I have trial, I have struggle, but Jesus is with me. When you are that way, when you choose to be different, when you say, I want to be a disciple of Jesus, when you make that decision, Peter says, God accepts that spiritual sacrifice because you're holy and you're set apart. He says that we are to be a spiritual house, a family, a team, a group. It's together that God dwells amongst us, that he's with us. No solo going. No me and Jesus in the woods. Me and God in the lake, right? Me and the Holy Spirit in the garden by myself. No. Together, together, together. Family, household, dwelling place of God. Living stones. Don't skip the part in here to where he says that that cornerstone, that Jesus, he was rejected, was he not? He said he was rejected because those disobeyed holiness, being set apart, being declared as God's people as a result of obedience. Those that rejected him disobeyed the truth, didn't crave truth, would not humble themselves to believe. Jesus was rejected. He was the great cornerstone. We are to be living stones. Therefore, what? You're probably going to be rejected. You're probably going to be denied. you're probably going to be an alien in this country, a foreigner that looks different, because Jesus was. Because you're going to have trial and struggle and difficulty, and it's going to give you an opportunity to make your faith genuine, which is how Peter starts this letter. He was rejected, so we probably will be too, for his name's sake, because we're Christians. We're going to end it here in verse 11 and 12. He says, "Dear friends, I urge you then, as those foreigners and exiles set apart and different, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us." There he is again, painting, right? He's going back. Hey, it's good. Hey, fight against this. Hey, it's good. Hey, fight against this. Because you're different. Fight against sin. Here's what he says, super powerful. He says, live such a way, good life, in this lost and dark and broken world among the pagans, that they may choose God. Live such a good life. Choose to be set apart. Choose to be different. You can do it. Abstain from sin. Live this way. Because they may choose him. Not they will, they might, because of your life. Because of you saying, yes, I can do this. Not because I'm perfect, not because I got it all together, not because I have the answers, but because I'm willing to humble myself and be obedient and ask and crave for truth. And not only gonna know it, I'm gonna do it. I don't have the ability to love, I'm gonna actually do it. I'm gonna have courage, I'm gonna stand up in the face of the culture, in the face of fear, in the face of the relationships, in the face of my friends, whether I'm at school or I'm at work, whether I'm outside, whether I'm at the store, down the street, doesn't matter. I'm gonna do it because of what Jesus has done for me. I'm gonna live good. And guess what they're gonna do when I do that? They're gonna say, you're wrong and you're bad. That's what he says. In the face of the culture that says you're wrong, you're living wrong, you don't get it, you're old school, you're old fashioned, you're weak, that's not progressive, whatever they may say, Peter says, do it, because at the time when it comes, when they stand before the Lord, they may have a chance because of how you lived, because you chose to be different, to be set apart when it was hard, when there was struggle, when there was difficulty, and you said, I am gonna be one that associates with Jesus. I'm gonna be set apart. And there's gonna be trial, there's gonna be struggle, but it's gonna be okay, because this is not all there is. I'm with the one that is eternal because of what he has done for me. Because of what he has done. Therefore, I'm a Christian. Amen. Guys, this is who we're supposed to be. This is what God calls us to be. Plan A, solution for the lost and dying world, is that right there. And it ain't easy. It'll cost you your life. But man, is it worth it. Man, is it worth it. Because of Jesus, we're gonna be different.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.